We will continue this morning the catechism lessons on the commandments. And we come this morning to a discussion of the fourth commandment of God, honor thy father and thy mother. The first three commandments of the Ten Commandments pertain to Almighty God, refer to our duties directly relating to God himself. And the latter seven commandments pertain to our duties regarding our neighbor and ourselves. And you notice that of these last seven commandments, the very first is that honor thy father and thy mother. And I would ask especially this morning that the children, boys and girls, pay very close attention, because this is a commandment that concerns you especially. It is a very important commandment, as you shall see. What are we commanded by the fourth commandment? By the fourth commandment, we are commanded to respect and love our parents, to obey them in all that is not sinful, and to help them when they are in need. Now that is a very important catechism answer. There are four obligations we owe to our parents. You notice that the fourth commandment doesn't simply say, obey thy father and thy mother, but honor thy father and thy mother. And the word honor includes a lot more than mere obedience. Children are obliged, number one, to respect their parents. Your parents take the place of God himself in your life. You owe respect for that dignity, the parental dignity that has been delegated to them by Almighty God himself. The dignity of paternity, which is a shadow or a representation of God's paternity. So number one, children owe their parents respect. And number two, they owe love for their parents. For all of the sacrifices, all of the heartaches, all of the worry and the concern, the parents earning a living that they might support their children and provide their children with their needs. And how often have parents undergone so many sacrifices for their children? A mother staying up all night at the bedside of a sick child. And so many other things that children don't even know and will never know in this life. Children owe their parents love for all these sacrifices. The parents do not want to be returned anything else but the love and the gratitude on the part of their children. And that is a serious responsibility and obligation. Thirdly, children owe their parents obedience. They owe obedience to their parents for the very simple reason that God has given parents authority to command. And by children obeying their parents, they in effect are obeying God himself through their parents. And finally, children are obliged to assist their parents in need, especially when the parents are older and the children are older and in a position to do so, they are obliged to assist the needs of their parents. I would like to go back and go through some of these obligations here that we have by the fourth commandment. Number one, again, respect for the dignity of the parents. Again, this respect is based on a realization that the parents represent God in the life of the children. The opposite of respect would be contempt. And God forbid that children should even go so far as to despise their parents. Contempt, which is directly opposed to respect, is a sin that is never anything but mortal. It refuses honor, belittles dignity, and considers parents beneath esteem. It is contempt to laugh at, to mock, to jibe, and insult parents. It is contempt to call them vile, opprobrious names, to tell of their faults. It is contempt in the height of contempt to defy them, to curse them, or to strike them. It is bad enough when this sort of thing is directed against an equal, but when parents are made the object of contempt, it acquires a degree that is infernal. The malediction of heaven, the almighty wrath of God, follows him or her who despises a parent. We are repeatedly told in Holy Writ that such offenders shall die the death. Scorn of parents is looked upon as a crime almost on a par with hatred of God. Pagans frequently punished it with death. Among Christians, it is left to the avenging wrath of God, who is pledged to defend the dignity of his delegated paternity. It has happened very often, too often, that children who have not given their parents the respect that is due to them ended up suffering from that sin later on. Maybe their own children, when they were parents, didn't respect them. And Father Clement told the story once of a man who was sitting outside his house on the street corner on the curb with his head in his hands, and he was crying. And whether it was Father Clement or someone else went up to him and said, "What's the matter?" He said, "My son just kicked me out of the house." He said, "I'll go in and talk to him." He said, "No, don't bother. I kicked my father out of the house when I was his age." And you've heard the old saying, those who live by the sword die by the sword. The same thing applies here. Children who do not respect their parents bring a curse upon their own heads. Children who do not respect their parents will suffer in one way or another for it in later life, and maybe for the rest of their lives. And so it is very important for children to understand the obligation of respect for their parents. Respect for those who are placed in authority by God cannot be underestimated. There is a very good example in this regard in the Old Testament, and it concerned King David. Now Saul was the first king of the Hebrew people after they had demanded a king, and Samuel, the prophet, the priest, anointed Saul to be their first king. And eventually the Hebrews were fighting against the Philistines, and you remember there was a giant of a man named Goliath who challenged the Hebrews to send anyone out against him. No one was willing, but finally this boy, actually, this young man named David, went forth and slew Goliath. Well, ever since that battle, the affection and love of the people went to David rather than their king Saul. And Saul conceived such a hatred of David that he tried to kill him. Several times when David was playing his harp, singing the psalms in the presence of Saul, Saul took a lance and tried to pin him against the wall and kill him. And then eventually Saul got together 3,000 of his soldiers and pursued David. Hunted him down, you might say. And it got to the point, as he was pursuing David, he came into a cave one evening to sleep. And David happened to be in that same cave farther in. And when David, with his few men, realized that Saul was there, he went up to him and took his knife and cut off a piece of the hem of Saul's garment to show Saul that he could have killed him if he wanted to do so, and it would have been justified. Saul was trying to take away the life of David. But David was even smitten with remorse that he had dared to cut off the hem of the garment of the anointed of the Lord, of the king. And he wouldn't lay hands on Saul because Saul was the anointed of God. He was the king. And it showed the great respect that David had even for a wicked king, because he was God's representative. He was the king. And again, David had remorse even for daring to cut off a small piece of the hem of the garment of the king. Children who have even wicked parents may not be obliged to give them obedience, especially when parents command something that is wrong. Other obligations of children at times may not be as binding, but one obligation that always binds, no matter what, and that is the obligation of respect for their parents, for the dignity that they hold. And that obligation does not cease when the children themselves grow old enough to go out on their own, to get married or pursue their own career. They still owe their parents respect, and they always will. Even after this life, when the parents are deceased, children must pray for them. On the anniversary of their parents' death, they should have masses offered for the repose of their souls, and they should never forget that obligation of respect and also of love. And again, the second obligation is love for parents for all the good that they do for the children. It is important to keep in mind, as we said, that parents very often go through many sacrifices for their children. Flesh and blood, which they have given their children, life, substance, health and comfort, strength of body and peace of soul, lavished with unstinted generosity out of the fullness of parental affection. These are things that can never be repaid in kind. They are repaid with the coin of filial piety and love, or they remain dead debts, unpaid debts. And again, the return that parents desire for all of their sacrifices and their generosity is the love of their children. What terrible ingratitude it would be if that is all that parents want, the love of their children for all of their sacrifices, if the children wouldn't even give that, their love. And so it is a very important obligation. Now, obedience. The third obligation that children owe to their parents is obedience. And as you know, that means obedience in all that is not sin. Now, I can't imagine the situation where any parent in this community would ask something of the children that was offensive to God. But in such a rare case where a child was told to do something wrong, then the child would have to obey God rather than men. But obedience in all that is not sinful. Children must remember, obedience does not simply mean carrying out an order, going through the motions. Parent tells a child to wash the dishes. All right, I'll do it. And going with a grudge, a chip on your shoulder to do what your parents told you, that's not really obedience. Obedience must not be only external, but interior. Willingly, cheerfully. You know, St. Louis Marie de Montfort in Friends of the Cross talks about the importance of carrying our crosses properly. And he says, if you pick up a weight, you have to carry an object. It is better to pick it up and carry it than to drag it along the ground, because the friction of dragging something along the ground makes it more difficult to transport from one area to another. And he's talking about those who carry their crosses, those who feel sorry for themselves, those who drag the cross, feel the weight of the cross even more. Those who pick up the cross in their shoulders and cheerfully carry it, and don't think about the weight of the cross, but about the place to which they have to carry the cross, their goal, hardly even feel the weight of the cross. And the same thing applies here to obedience. Children who are always upset, always feeling sorry for themselves because of what they're asked to do, complaining inwardly if not outwardly, are making the commands given to them all the more difficult. If they would simply do it cheerfully, they would get it done in half the time and do a better job and feel better about it. Obedience. Again, not only external, but interior. Children who complain, who talk back when they're told to do something, try to get out of it, are really not being obedient. They're offending against the fourth commandment. And finally, the obligation to assist the parents in need. This would especially apply when parents are older, when their health has broken down to some degree, and if it ever would get to a point when the parents could not adequately support themselves. Now imagine, of course, in our society there is provision made by the government for older people, but imagine in Catholic societies before, when there was not such a provision, very often this obligation of the fourth commandment would have to be followed through. In our modern society, is not always necessary. However, children should remember not to forget about their parents when they are older, to visit them when they can, to take care of them as best they can. And one of the greatest tragedies in our modern society is that too often children will put their elderly parents in rest homes when it is not really needed. Now, granted that very often rest homes provide good care, and sometimes the children cannot provide that care. And in effect, it's an act of charity for the children and fulfilling their obligation to put their parents in the home when they can't provide something better. But the idea of not just getting rid of the parents, they're older now, just put them in a home and forget about them. What an absolute tragedy. And you often had in Catholic societies a situation where you had three or four generations living under the same roof, because the children took care of their parents, etc., not being willing to send them away, to put them in a home, but rather to have them there and take care of them themselves. At any rate, the obligation to assist our parents when they are in need applies and should not be forgotten. Now we go on in the catechism. What about grown-up sons and daughters? They're 18 years old. They're no longer going to school. What is their obligation? Grown-up sons and daughters are bound to obey their parents in those matters that concern the management of the household as long as they live with their parents, but they have no strict obligation of obedience when they no longer live with their parents. Parents, of course, on their part, should not treat grown-up sons and daughters as though they were still going to school, and they should not treat high school students as though they were grade school students, as though they were younger children. There should be more privileges, more of an opportunity for responsibility for the older children. But at the same time, even grown-up sons and daughters. As long as they're living in the house, parents have a certain say over when they're going to come home, what they're doing, and things that pertain especially to the management of the household. And children should respect that. Regarding the choice of a state in life, although sons and daughters generally should consult their parents about their choice of a state in life, they have no strict obligation to obey in this matter, particularly if there is question of the choice of the religious state or the priesthood. But especially when it pertains to the married state, they should consult their parents. The parents obviously have experience. And it would be insulting, in a sense, the parents not even to consult them about such an important decision affecting your entire life. What about the obligation of the fourth commandment to respect and obey others outside of your parents? Besides our parents, the fourth commandment obliges us to respect and obey all our lawful superiors. And you know, I would like to include something else here under this particular question, and that is the point of respect for elders. It used to be much more insisted on. In our modern society, it is a tragic omission to teach children to respect adults, their elders, and even to some degree obedience for elders. You have a child fooling around in the grocery store and the mother is down in the next aisle or something, and an adult comes by and corrects the child should give obedience to that adult. Children should be taught to respect all of their elders. What are the duties of servants and employees toward their employers? Servants and employees are obliged to perform faithfully the tasks they have agreed to fulfill for the period of time expected of them, and also to take reasonable care of the property of their employers. Now, getting back to the relation of parents with children, we've talked about the obligation of children to their parents, or of all of us to anyone who is lawfully placed over us. Now what about the obligations of parents to children, which also comes into the fourth commandment? Parents have the following obligations. Parents must provide for the spiritual and bodily welfare of their children. Also, superiors, according to their varying degrees of responsibility, must care for those entrusted to them. Government officials have obligations to citizens of a country. A religious superior has obligations to the religious under his charge, both spiritual and material. And especially here, parents have obligations to their children, spiritual and material. Now, the material is taken for granted. There is a natural instinct for parents to provide for their children food, clothing, warmth, to provide for their bodily needs. But what about the spiritual obligations? Parents should provide their children with instruction in religion, see that they attend Mass when they are old enough to do so, old enough according to the laws of the church, that they receive the sacraments regularly, and supervise the choice of companions, train them in the practice of Christian virtue by word and example. That's quite a bit under the spiritual obligations. And what is unfortunate is that sometimes parents who are very conscientious about their obligations physically, corporally, for their children, fail when it comes to their spiritual obligations. So let's go through these. Obligations of parents. Number one, provide their children with instruction in religion. And that begins in the home. It begins when the child is still an infant or 2 years old. Instruction, how to make the sign of the cross, how to say prayers, what this means. Jesus is here in the church. Little things like this that mothers especially should constantly instill into their children, their faith, from the tenderest years. And then when the children are old enough to go to school, to see to it that they are instructed in the catechism, that they are prepared for First Communion, confession, by the religious. Secondly, parents see that their children attend Mass when they're old enough, at least by that time. Also, that they receive the sacraments regularly. Parents are obligated to see that their children receive the sacraments regularly. What does that mean? Does that mean that you get on your children if they're not going to confession or communion? No, you go to a priest about it. Parents should take care of it, and that means consulting a priest. It doesn't mean the parents should interfere when it comes to the sacraments, but they should encourage their children to receive the sacraments without undue pressure. And when there is a problem, see a priest about it. They should supervise the choice of their children's companions. And I don't think that point could ever be overrated, overestimated. Supervise the companions of your children. Remember, parents, your children will become what their companions are through association. You cannot make too much of an effort to see to it that the companions of your children are going to be good for them, that they're going to give good example, that they're not going to teach them things that are wrong, that they're not going to lead them astray, that their companions are not going to undo everything you're making an effort to instill into your children in the home. And finally, train them in the practice of Christian virtue both by word and by example. Parents have to give good example, and that's part of their spiritual obligation. You can't just tell your children, this is what you should do, and then you do the opposite. Give your children a good example. What is the law of the church regarding attendance of Catholic children at schools run by non-Catholics? The church forbids parents to send their children to schools in which the Catholic religion is not taught and which are frequented by non-Catholics, except in cases in which the bishop decides that because of the particular circumstances it may be permitted. The obligation, the spiritual obligation here, pertains to seeing to a good Catholic education for your children. And how many difficulties do we not have with our school? They are worth it. They are helping you, the school is helping you, despite all the difficulties, fulfill your parental responsibility to educate and train your children. And so carry those crosses of the school. Work with the teachers, the staff, the faculty to resolve the problems, and whatever they are, realize that they are minimal in comparison with the problems that we would have if our school were somehow to cease to exist. Now, the duties of employers towards their employees. Employers must treat their employees justly and kindly, give them wages sufficient for the decent support of themselves and their families if they can do so. The obligations of a citizen toward his country. A citizen must love his country, be sincerely interested in its welfare, and respect and obey its lawful authority. A citizen also shows a sincere interest in his country's welfare by voting honestly and without selfish motives, by paying just taxes and defending his country's rights when necessary. Are citizens obliged to vote? It is at least advisable that citizens should vote when they are entitled to do so, and they are strictly obliged to vote if by so doing they may promote some great good for their country or prevent some great evil. Finally, what does the fourth commandment forbid? The fourth commandment forbids disrespect, unkindness, and disobedience to our parents and lawful superiors. I would like to quote a couple of other sections from a book we have here pertaining to the fourth commandment. And this gets into the affection that parents have for their children. So getting back to parental responsibility towards their children, what about love of parents towards their children? There may be too little love to the neglect and misfortune of the children. There may be too much to their spoiling. Perhaps we should call that misguided. There really can't be too much love, but there could be misguided love to their spoiling and utter perversion. Again, there may be affection that is partial, that singles out one for caresses and favors to the exclusion of the others. Hence, discord and dissension in the family. The first two forms of inordinate affection are equally bad, while the last, partiality, combines both and contains the double evil thereof. It is hard to say which is the worse off, the child that receives too much or the one that receives too little of that love which, to be correct, should avoid extremes. That's a very important point for parents. Now, one other point that I would like to bring up, and that has to do with correction. Parents have the obligation, it said, to train their children in virtue. To train in virtue means not only to counsel, to advise, to teach, but also to correct at times. As it says in the Old Testament, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, and the rod of correction will drive it out. No matter how much modern psychologists may try to get around that point, we as Catholics believe in original sin. And parents are very much aware of the effects of original sin in the lives of their children. But I want to quote a few more sections from the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament. This is the Holy Ghost speaking. Spare the rod and spoil the child. He who loves his child spares not the rod. Correction gives judgment to the child, who ordinarily is incapable of reflection. If the child be not chastised, it will bring down shame and disgrace upon the head of its parent. So much for correction. The fourth commandment, then, is the most important of the last seven commandments pertaining to duties referring to our neighbors and ourselves. The first three commandments pertaining to Almighty God Himself, and the very first of the other commandments, the fourth, honor thy father and thy mother. There is a lot more, remember, contained in those words than it is explicitly mentioned. Parents, train your children properly, love them properly, teach them their faith, give them a good example, provide for them. Children, love your parents, respect them, obey them, and help them whenever you can, as much as you can. In the name of the Father, and of the Son,